This is an account of the pious martyrs and witnesses of Jesus Christ who suffered in the third century. So this is a summary of the martyrs of the third century. There never was a time in the Church of Jesus Christ in which so many and great tyrants arose to destroy and extirpate the people of God as in this century. For scarcely had one ceased when another began, except in a short cessation under the emperors Caracalla and Geta. All right, of the fifth persecutions of the Christians under the emperor Septimius Severus, commenced about the year 201. Touching the cause which induced Severus to persecute and put to death the Christians, ancient authors differ. Some write that Severus was instigated to kill and persecute the Christians in the 10th year of his reign by Philip, the governor of Egypt. Others think that in the time of Severus, there were many cruel and bloodthirsty governors in the provinces of the Romans, as Lethus and Aquila at Alexandria in Egypt, Saturninus and Scapula at Carthage in Africa, Claudius Hermanianus in Cappadocia, Cecilius Capella at Byzantium, who at Rome, as well as elsewhere, were most pernicious firebrands in these persecutions, in so much as they instigated the emperor and the Roman Senate against the Christians. Now get this, these are the two reasons why they think the persecutions were what they were under Severus. But this is the second reason. It says that they instigated the emperor and the Roman Senate against the Christians in order that through this means they might seize on the possessions of the Christians. They said, here's why we're going to kill them. Here's why we're going to try and turn the Senate against them so we can get their goods. That's why. So we can get what they have. This is how the Roman Catholic Church was built, which is just the outflow of the Roman Empire. You know, that fourth empire in Daniel's never gone away. Amen. Never. It's still here today. The Roman Empire is still alive and well today. And it's got its embassies all over the world. The Roman Catholic Church. That's how the Roman Catholic Church built everything that they've got. The St. Peter's Basilica. They were confiscating. All it took was an accusation of heresy. And they would come in and, your husband just wouldn't come home one day. He'd go off to work and then he'd never come home. I'm talking rich lords and everything. I mean, people with a lot of money. They would just, an accusation would be made against them. Someone wanted to get back at them or they wanted to confiscate their goods. So they'd just make an accusation against them and they would just take them. And they'd be going to the Inquisition all to seize their goods. And I've been to the Vatican and I've seen all the artwork that they have in there. And I mean, it is room after room after room after room after room after room after room. I mean, so many that at the end you're like, man, this all looks the same. I mean, and I'm sure that stuff is priceless, but it's all been stolen stuff. Much of it, it was taken from Christians. Some of them weren't Christians. They just had an accusation made against them that they were believed heresy, according to the Catholic Church. But that's what happened. Same thing right here. That's why they were doing it, so they could seize on the possessions of the Christians. It's all about greed. All right, it is stated that to this persecution and slaving of the Christians contributed at that time, not a little, some jurists who, through false interpretations of the Roman laws, or at least through their self-devised decrees, ruled nearly the whole empire. So through false interpretations of the Roman laws, this persecution was brought against Christians. My, oh my, doesn't that sound familiar? False interpretations, these rulers, these so-called legislators had false interpretations of the laws. Isn't that what's happening today? And everyone just bows in submission to, well, whatever the Supreme Court says is the law of the land. No, no. Amen. The Bill of Rights is the law of the land. Amen. Not their twisted interpretation of it. It's pretty plain language in the Bill of Rights. Well, they say sodomite marriage is legit now. It's been in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. So, it's the law of the land. Well, how come it wasn't when they started? How come they actually, the founding fathers who drafted the Bill of Rights in many of the states that they lived in, how come they had laws against sodomy? I mean, even just going back into like the 80s and stuff, 90s, there was no sodomy laws. How come if it's always been there, they didn't start out with it? You know, some people might say, man, you're way out there to even say this, but man, it's a crime against nature. It's unnatural. It's against nature. That right there ought to tell you it's wrong. But their misinterpretation of the laws, they use that to persecute. And it's happening. There's no freedom of religion. We've lost liberty of conscience in this, liberty of conscience in this nation. Now, there's a modicum of it, but here's what we have. Again, I talk about this because it came up right here, so I want to apply it. See what I'm talking about? I want to apply what we're, and I know this isn't Bible, I get that, but I want to apply what we're learning from history about those that believe the Bible. Okay, the application is that we live in a society where we're told we have freedom, but we don't have freedom, we don't have liberty, we have tolerance, and there is a huge difference. A huge difference. Okay, I just read this last week about, you know, a nation of tolerance. Communist China just destroyed a church building worth millions of dollars in China. It was an underground church, meaning it wasn't registered with the state. They didn't have the state's approval, so they were underground in that sense. So the government has persecuted them. They've arrested the pastors. Some of them have been in prison for 7 years, up to 7 years. Okay, but they just recently, I think it was just this last week or the week before, they demolished that building in a land of tolerance. Does that sound like liberty? No, because of a misinterpretation, a false interpretation of law. This is why it's so important we stand for liberty for everyone. Amen. For everyone. For everyone. You know, as we look at everyone's whining about DACA and the Dreamers and all that and saying, you know, they're not American citizens, they shouldn't have the same rights as us. Let's go back and read these founding documents. And I should have pulled it up, but I didn't, and so I'm going to paraphrase it here. But it says, we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. Meaning our founders understood that these rights are not American rights. These are human rights. Our Creator gave them to us. They're for everybody. Liberty of conscience is for everybody. Free speech is for everybody. Freedom of religion is for everybody. You know, the right that we can be safe in our persons and places without threat of an unwarranted search and seizure is for everybody. Because they're human rights. They're not American rights. Okay? Now, I get that. I don't believe we should be, like, giving them money and all that and supporting them through, you know, our social welfare system. But, hey, let me just back one up on that and say I don't even think we should have all of that.
Amen.
We shouldn't even be doing it for Americans.
Amen.
That's just legalized theft, by the way. Just because our government doesn't change it. Socialized medicine. You know, Obamacare was completely unconstitutional. Completely unconstitutional. You're telling me I have to buy something now? Is that liberty? But we get so indoctrinated with this stuff that we think that, well, this is just how it is. You just have to obey the government. And doesn't Romans 13 teach that? Romans 13 teaches that, you know, we're to obey them that have the rule over us. Okay, again, I ask us, what's the highest law in this land? The Constitution, Bill of Rights, exactly. That's what we're to obey. Not corrupt, tyrannical dictators. Not them. Now, it doesn't mean there's not a cost to it. We're reading about that right here. We're reading about the cost of obeying your conscience right here. And I'm telling you, the day is coming when Christians, we are going to have to decide where we stand. So prepare yourselves now. Prepare yourselves now. What's your line? And everyone's line is going to be different. But what is your line that you say, that's it, I won't cross that. I'm not going to do that. And it's just getting worse and worse. Worse and worse. As the persecution comes on us because of a false interpretation of laws. Okay. All right, moving on. Very credibly, however, is the cause of this persecution accounted for in the introduction to the Martyr's Mirror. The words are as follows. In the year 201 was commenced the fifth persecution of the Christians under the Emperor Severus in the seventh year of his reign. It originated thus. The emperor having come forth victorious from a civil war, and the Christians having remained passive with regard to this, not manifesting any signs of joy by way of celebrating, hanging out of garlands and other tokens of triumph according to the manner of the heathen, the latter, out of envy, accused the Christians of despising and hating the emperor, and the more so because they would not swear by the emperor's fortune. Now, it says that they accused the Christians of despising and hating the emperor because they wouldn't join in the celebrating of the victory of the civil war. Should I make an application or keep going? I think I'm going to make an application here. I heard of a missionary that he was with a mission board. It was known as BIMI. This is his testimony. This is what he told me. He was a missionary to a foreign country. And his mission board, he said, I will not pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. He says, my allegiance is to Jesus Christ. I'm not going to pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States. And his, mind you, it's not his local church. Okay, that's a whole other issue. But it's not his local church. It's a parachurch organization, which is just a parasite. Okay, it can't live without the church. Okay, and I'm talking about the church in an institutional sense, not a, you know, spiritual body, invisible, universal, invisible church, okay? But that entity cannot live apart from the church. So it's not a local church, and it's not the pillar and ground of the truth, and it honestly has no authority. So they told him, they said, you have to pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States. And he says, I'm not going to do it. And they said, you have to. His response to them was genius. He said, if I lived in China, should I demand that the Christians there pledge allegiance to the Chinese government? And it stopped their mouths. It stopped their mouths because they said, well, no, you can't do that. See, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. And I'm afraid that many are more American than they are Christian. And no king but Jesus. Jesus first. Amen. His kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. I'm a Christian first, part of the kingdom of God, before I'm an American.
Amen.
Amen. Amen and amen. That deserves a double amen right there. So be it and so be it. That's where we need to stand. Because they weren't zealous enough for the nation. They accused them of despising and hating the emperor. We'll be accused of the same thing. Look, the patriots, as we look back to the founding of this nation, and you look back to the, we call them the, you know, they rebelled against the king in these 13 rebellious colonies. You know, they were named all sorts of things. And the same thing will be said about us, too, if we stand for the Word of God. By brethren, by Christians, will say the same thing about us. And I'm telling you, man, you just come out, it's not even coming out against America. You come out against nationalism, just blind nationalism, following America and whatever America does. You come out against that, and you're going to have the brethren are going to be all over you. They'll be mad at you. You know, I'm honest. If you're not 100% pro-Trump, they get mad at you. They don't like you. Like, how come I'm not mad at you if you're pro-Trump? I'm not requiring you to think like I do. Why do you require me to think like you do? I mean, I just read last week or the week before about his love and endorsement of the sodomites. Please, Christians, let's yoke up with that. Because that'll exalt a nation, right? So we can't just follow blindly our nation. We ought to follow our King. Amen. That's who we follow. Wherever he leads. The Nazis were nationalistic. Okay, they wanted to follow the nation. I mean, if we were in Nazi Germany then, should we be required to salute the flag? To give our allegiance to Hitler? Hey! Heil Hitler! Should Christians be required to do it there? No, then why here? My kingdom is not of this world. I'm not anti-America by any means. I would consider myself a patriot. Some others might not agree with that statement based on what I've told you right now. But I would consider myself a patriot. I love this land. I love the liberties we have in this land. Still a modicum of the liberties. You understand what I'm saying with that? I would like to see a return back to that. Amen. That's why we're starting to pray for our governmental leaders so that God will give them wisdom and he will turn their heart to back to principles of liberty. They don't even have to be a Christian. They don't. I'll vote for a lost man who stands for liberty over a professing saved man who does not stand for liberty. I'm not expecting a perfect candidate either. One doesn't exist. He'll be here soon. And it'll be a dictatorship. Amen. Amen. All right. So they accuse the Christians of despising and hating the emperor. Besides this, they swear by the emperor's fortune. Besides this, they reported of the Christians that in their evening assemblies, so here's the allegations being made against them, they extinguished the lights and then allowed themselves improper intercourse with each other. And in this manner, it came that everyone hated the Christians. Others spread the report that the Christians were child murderers and eaters of human flesh, that is, people who slew their children and ate them. Also that they honored the head of an ass as their god, worshiped the sun, and other like palpable and wicked falsehoods. This is what they're saying against Christians. This is what you crazy people, this is what you do there as you go to your assemblies there. However, though these false accusations were brought against the Christians, their death was nevertheless owing entirely to the testimony and confession of Jesus Christ, that he was the Son of God and the Savior of the human family. The most violent persecution of this time, according to Eusebius and Tertullian, was in Egypt and Africa. From Egypt, the Christians were brought into great multitudes to Alexandria, where they were put to death in manifold ways for the name of Christ. Among the principal martyrs of this time were the following. Rutilius, the holy martyr, says Tertullian, after having so often escaped persecution by fleeing from one place to another and having purchased his freedom, as he supposed, from the danger of death, and after having provided himself with all safe conduct and feeling easy and free from anxiety, was nevertheless unexpectedly apprehended and brought before the president, yea, torn asunder with manifold torments, and then committed to the fire, and thus, thanking the mercy of God for it, he endured the suffering which he had sought to escape. This Rutilius was martyred somewhere in Africa. Mavilis, a pious Christian of Adrumelin, torn by the wild beasts at Carthage about the year 201. Tertullian writes a very candid admonition and warning concerning the impending wrath of God over all the persecutors of the Christians to Scapula, the governor of Carthage, who having succeeded in the place of Vigilius Saturninus, who on account of the persecution he had exercised against the Christians had been struck with blindness through the righteous judgment of God, also allowed in his footsteps as regards cruelty. For at his accession to the governorship, he immediately very cruelly sentenced Mavilis, a very pious Christian of Adrumelum, a city in Africa, to be torn by the beasts, who though through a severe death attained to a blessed end. Immediately after his death, great plagues were sent by the Lord over the city of Carthage, where the governor resided, as great rains, high floods, terrible thunders, fiery signs in the air. He was torn to pieces by the beasts. Because he believed like we do. And that's our martyr's minute. If we would.